Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee in the name of our blessed and lovely Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that thou wilt bless this waiting radio audience and deal mercifully with our hearts. Send revival. Dig down deep into our hearts by thy Spirit and give us grace to turn to thee and to look to thee and to trust thee with all of our being and to follow thee with all of our heart. O Lord, give us a hatred for sin that we have never known before, and a love for thee that we have never known before, and a desire to follow thee and worship thee and praise thee and look to thee. Lord, deal with every heart, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
my dear friend, I say amen. Certainly, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise, worthy of our thanksgiving, for He died to set us free, and by His Spirit to pluck us as brands from the burning, to make us His dear children, to make us sons of the living God, by faith in Him. I, for one, just praise Him. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Did you write for your free book that we're offering this month entitled The Method of Grace by John Flavel? In this book, our dear friend thoroughly outlines the work of God's Spirit in applying the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the believer. And your heart will be challenged and opened if you'll read this book. It's yours free and postpaid if you'll write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. For the past few weeks, we've been bringing you messages from the Word of God entitled The Sin of Covetousness. And we've been looking at that 10th commandment given to us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, which reads, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In our previous messages, we first of all laid before you and showed you that the particular nature of this commandment is in that it reaches beneath the externals of our conduct to the hidden activities of the mind and the heart and the will and condemns sin when it is first entertained in our affections. And this is in a way as it is set forth in James chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we find that everyone by nature possesses an evil heart of covetousness. Therefore, breaking all of the commandments in the heart before the sin ever gets to the overt act. Because it's from the heart of man, or out of the heart of man, that proceeds all sin. Then we showed you in our second message that covetousness lies in the fact that it deceives and slays us, except for the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit and His deliverance. You see, our Lord warned us in Luke 15, 12-15 of this heart sin of covetousness. He said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He thereby tells us to be on guard against covetousness or greed of every description. And the Greek word for greed here is very descriptive, my friend. Literally, it means to thirst for having more. Always more and more and still more. And this is what this sin does to us. This sin of covetousness. It is as if a man, in order to quench his thirst, takes a drink of salt water, which happens to be the only water available. This makes him still more thirsty, so he drinks again and again until his thirst kills him. So it is with the sin of covetousness, the sin of greed. It is the uncontrolled yearning to have more and more and still more until covetousness kills the soul of man. And then he abides under the curse and wrath of God forever. And my friend, that's awful. For the Bible puts it like this in Proverbs 27:20, Hail and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And that's an awful sin. The third aspect of this sin that we desire to go into with you is that it is a dangerous and damning sin because It is a mother sin. And dear friend, what I mean by this statement that it is a mother sin is that it makes a man break all the commandments. You see, the sin of covetousness breaks the first commandment, which reads, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Because a covetous man is an idolater. Having other gods beside the one true and living God as He is revealed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The very essence of this sin is clearly defined in Colossians 2:5 as idolatry. It reads, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So a covetous man makes mammon, or the world, his god, because he lives for this life, and this life only. He is driven by the idols of riches, or pleasure, or lust, or fortune, or fame. And according to Romans 6:23, he will reap the wages of eternal death and hell unless he repents of this sin. But more than anything else, covetousness is the worship of self, therefore breaking this first commandment, which is the embodiment of all evil. Listen to me now. You see, self is upon the throne of the heart. Everything of this life becomes servant to the gratification of all fleshly and selfish desires. My friend, selfishness is essentially my right to my own self and all that I touch for my pleasure and for my glory. The man eaten up with covetousness and selfishness says, "I will get what I want no matter how I get it, who I hurt, who I kill, who I rob, how I lie, or how many lives I wreck. I am going to do what I want to do." That's the heart of covetousness, my dear friend, and that's the heart of rebellion. The heart says, "I will have my pleasure, my drink, my money, my home, my job, my good times in life, and my way, no matter how I get them or who I kill or hurt to get them." This is the essence of evil. And dear friend, this is the heart of every man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been telling you in these messages. And it breaks that first commandment which says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Again, covetousness breaks the second commandment, which reads, "Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down to them." You see, you break this commandment when you bow down before the idol of your own opinion, saying, "This is what I believe." Or you bow down to the idol of your own religion when you say, "My church is the only church." Or you bow down to the idol of your wife or your children or your boat or your fishing rod or your gun or your house or your job. You see, you worship at the shrine of your own self-image, bowing down to your idols which have become your gods. So a covetous man breaks the second commandment, "For you have made all of these things your God instead of the true and the living God as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ." My friend, what idol are you bowing down to today? Is it your church, your religion, your wife or your children or your boat or your fishing rod or your gun or your house or your job? I ask, what is your idol? Is it pleasure? Are you listening? Again, this sin of covetousness also breaks the third commandment, which reads, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And my dear friend, this commandment is broken every day when men and women leave their wives or their husbands or their children and go off with somebody else's wife or husband, saying, "The Lord led me to get a divorce and to go out on my own. The Lord led me to do this." My friend, this is blasphemy. God never leads you into sin. Dear friend, this is bringing God into something for which you and you alone are responsible. This is nothing more than a covetous heart wanting to have its own way and blaming God for telling you to do it. Therefore, you stand guilty before God of breaking the third commandment. In 2 Samuel 15:7, Absalom told his father, I must go back to Hebron and pay my vow to God, when all the time he was trying to usurp the throne and cover up his covetous heart by bringing God's name into it. My friend, this is blasphemy. Taking the name of the Lord, our God, in vain, bringing God's name upon our lips when we don't worship Him in spirit and in truth. Bringing God's name into everything and not giving Him glory. You see, many a person takes God's name in vain by making a profession of faith in Christ with nothing more in mind than to cover up a covetous heart. Also, how many have made a profession of faith in Christ after some great crisis to escape what will come upon them or to escape hell, when they have no interest in turning from sin in true repentance with a hatred for it? This takes the name of the Lord our God in vain and breaks the third commandment. I knew a businessman once who went to one church in town for Sunday school, mixed with the people, left his offering of $20, then went to another church in the same town for the worship hour, mixed with the people, left his offering of $20, only for the purpose of influencing the people in both churches to buy his merchandise. All of this came forth from an evil heart of covetousness and was a breach of the third commandment, for he was using the name of God in vain as a cloak under which to hide his real intentions. Beloved, we better be sure what we're doing when we take God's name upon our lips. Again, covetousness is the breach of the fourth commandment, where it reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Men have made this their day to do their pleasure instead of God's pleasure on the Lord's day. You see, a covetous man wants God's day for himself, even though God has given him 6 days to labor and prepare for the seventh day of rest, worship and relaxation before God. This commandment is broken when you spend God's day upon yourself and your pleasure instead of worshiping Him. Again, the sin of covetousness breaks the fifth commandment, which reads, honor thy father and thy mother. Listen to us now. The covetous person desires his own way, his own rule, instead of God's appointed way of obedience to parents and unto God by submitting to His rule through the parents and walking in peace with them. And dear friend, this is a commandment broken million times every day by children and young people who are coveting their own way and seeking their own honor rather than bow unto the authority of their father and mother whom God has given them. Thus they dishonor their parents and show their rebellious, covetous heart against God. You young children, you young people that are listening to me today, let me tell you, with love for my soul, you'll never get saved until you bow to the authority of your parents that God put over you. For when you rebel against them, in essence, you are rebelling against God. And it shows that covetous heart that you want your way and not God's way. Listen further. This sin of covetousness breaks the sixth commandment, which reads, thou shalt not kill. You see, when a man is greedy of gain, he will kill to get what he wants. Covetous Ahab killed Naboth to get his vineyard, according to 1 Kings 21, and thereby came under the judgment of God. Yes, it is a covetous heart that leads a man to kill his wife or to have her killed so he can have another woman. It is a covetous and selfish mother who has her unborn child killed so she can be free from an unwanted pregnancy. It is covetousness that drives a man to kill so that he might possess that which belongs unto another. We're seeing this sixth commandment broken every day of the week and every hour, aren't we? Right here in our own town this very week, one of our policemen were killed in cold-blooded murder by a man who was a robber, a thief, as the policeman came upon him when he was trying to rob a bank. It is covetousness that drives a man to murder. Again, covetousness breaks the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, because the adulterous man or woman covets after forbidden flesh, that which God has not given them. Covetousness makes men and women sell their very souls to the devil in hell just to satisfy their own damnable lust. It is covetousness that drives a man to leave his wife and children, home and job, to go after another woman to satisfy his own lustful desires. It is covetousness, selfishness, that leads to every type of set act outside of the marriage bed. Our Lord said in Matthew 5:28, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And my friend, how searching then are these words which go deep into the heart of man and mark for judgment that sin which is known only to God. Oh, that God would convict us in this hour. His word would go home in power and much assurance, and that by the authority of God's law you'd be brought down at His word. Man and woman, God sees you. All of this promiscuous society in which we are living and going on across this nation, God knows. And God's going to bring you into judgment. He's already sent this judgment of Gentile Herbes among this promiscuous society. This is the judgment of God, because you've broken this seventh commandment because of your covetous heart. And God's bringing you into judgment. And my friend, is this not a warning? Is this not a warning? That you better get down before God and cry to Him for a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you'd cry for a hatred of this sin, this judgment of this social disease that has come upon so many millions in our nation today. This is only a foretaste of the final judgment when God shall cast you out of His presence forever. For your covetous heart has made you break that seventh commandment. Then again, the sin of covetousness breaks the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." Because a man reaches for and takes that which God has withheld from him, he steals it because his covetous heart must have it. Not only that, but a covetous man steals from his own soul when he denies his soul the blessings of heaven, when he gives it the curses of hell because of sin. The Word of God classifies thieves along with covetous men in 1 Corinthians 6. All come under the judgment of God. My friend, where do you stand? Again, covetousness also breaks the ninth commandment. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." The covetous man breaks this commandment when he lies on his neighbor for advantage. And what makes the perjurer take a false oath? Nothing but covetousness, a hopeful reward. And again, the sin of covetousness breaks the tenth commandment, which reads, "Thou shalt not covet." When a man covets his neighbor's house, his neighbor's wife, his neighbor's good name, his neighbor's job, or his neighbor's servants for himself, he is breaking the tenth commandment. So you see, dear friend, this is truly a mother sin, breaking all the commandments of God. It brings the wrath of God down upon you in judgment. For Galatians 3:10 reads, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Therefore, if a man persist in the sin of covetousness, which is idolatry, listen to me now, he shuts him out of heaven. He shuts himself out of heaven. We read also in Ephesians 5:5, "This you know, that no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Oh, how awful then is this sin of covetousness that has torn our nation apart and set man on fire, the fire of lust and greed, to have any and everything unlawful at any cost. And when we look at this inflexible law of God, which all of us have broken, we stand guilty before God, helpless and hopeless. My friend, we are undone. We are brought into the light of the divine requirements, and therefore must confess and cry guilty. Undone, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And my friend, then and only then, will we be able to hear those blessed words, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Therefore the question is asked, what is the cure for this sin of covetousness? My friend, if you will confess before God and please be honest with Him, that you've been feeding upon ashes, that your heart has deceived you so that you cannot deliver your soul, and that there is truly a lie in your right hand, that is, you've been lying to God and to man, then this is the cure, a new heart and a new nature given by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear these words, my friend. This is a gift of God worked in us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. For He will give you faith in the living God as He is revealed in Christ. This faith will enable you to turn to God from all your idols, to feed upon Christ, and to look to Him and Him alone, to provide all things for your soul, including heartfelt repentance and sorrow for sin. My friends, seek and pray for a broken heart over sin and the things of this world. Pray for a heavenly mind after Christ. Pray that your affection will be set on things above. Cry unto the Lord to dig the world out of your heart and to teach you how to possess it but not to love it, and to trust Him by His power, the power of His Word, and the power of His blood to cleanse you from sin and save you by His grace. You see, dear friend, God holds out hope to you only in Christ, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanses from all sin. You want a copy of this message? Write us. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.